reading that of Luke 24, and I'll be in a couple other passages. Luke 24 is where I'll start. If you don't, that's fine. You can listen along as I read Luke 24. I want to jump right into the message, talk about our expectations of the Lord. Our expectations of the Lord. Luke 24. It says, verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Let's go ahead and pray, and I want to talk about our expectations of the Lord. Father, you're amazing. Your word is amazing. Thank you for touching our hearts already with the service, and thank you for speaking to us. We give you praise and glory for every person who's here, Father. People here who've had wonderful, victorious Christian lives, and their whole life they've been raised in a great atmosphere and are just blessed in that way. And others who've been through some hard knocks, others who've been wounded pretty deeply and have some deep heartaches and troubles today, Father. People from different worlds, Father. And we thank you for bringing us all together to hear your word. We pray the Spirit of God to speak to every heart today, Lord, that those who don't know you as Savior would be saved, and those who are saved would be spoken to, and a great work would happen, Father, and that you would just do the mighty work that needs done. Give me wisdom what to say, what to do, how to do the service. We ask for your help and for your Spirit to move in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, of course, is risen from the dead at this point, and they come to find him, and his body isn't there. And there's a couple of angels standing there, and the angels say, "He is not here; he's risen." And if you look where it says, verse 6, it says, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And so they go and tell them, hey, he's risen again. Mary and others, these ladies who were there, they're very surprised. And they said, where at one point, Mary says, "They've taken my Lord, and where have you laid him? And where have you?" And they said that she said that to Jesus later. At this point, they're seeking Jesus' body, but he said 3 days later he'd rise again. Later on, some disciples they come down there and they tell the disciples about that. And in verse 14, two disciples are walking along the road, and they talk together all these things which had happened. It came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And so here's two other disciples, and they're very sad. And they're very discouraged. They've been told that they found the body of Jesus, or they found Jesus raised from the dead, and he wasn't there, and his body was gone, and the angels told him he's raised from the dead. And these two disciples, they were struggling, and they said, "We can't believe this," and it's very, very strange and very discouraging that this happened. We can't figure it out, what really happened. In verse 19, it says, "He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And all the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted," notice that's past tense, and notice they called him a prophet, not the Son of God, "but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since all these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And they found not his body, but are come, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found that it even as women said, but they saw him not." Notice they were troubled. They were troubled. and they're struggling with this thing. They're trying to figure it out. They were struggling with their faith about it, and they didn't really believe. Let's go back to Mark now, just the book before this, Mark chapter 16. And Jesus, of course, reveals to these two disciples, I'm Jesus, I'm raised from the dead. He eats with them, shows his body is raised from the dead and such. But they were very troubled. Again, go to verse 7. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told all that had been with him, and mourned and wept. When they heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two others as they walked in the country. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now you see, the disciples, they don't believe it. They believe not. The two disciples, the 11 disciples who were left after Judas killed himself, the ladies were very confused and said, where have you taken the body of Jesus? Everybody's very confused, but the angel says, he is risen as he said he would. This is what he said was going to happen. He told you. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He said, he told you before, he was going to come and die and be crucified for our sins and be raised again. Why are you surprised? Let's just look where he says this. Let's go back to Luke here, and he just show you where he said a couple places. Let's go to Luke. There's so many verses where he says it, but just Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 22. For the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised again the third day. So Jesus tells them, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to reject me. I'm going to be crucified. I'll rise again 3 days later. He told even the Pharisees, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He told everybody over and over, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again 3 days later. They go to a sepulcher. His body's not there. And they said, what happened? The angel says, well, he died. And like he told you, as he said, he rose again. And they run back and tell the 11 disciples, guess what? We went to the grave. His body is not there. And there's angels. They said, he's risen again. And the devil says, I don't believe it. He'd raised the dead. He'd healed blind people. He'd healed lame people. He foretold the future. He did miracle after miracle after miracle. And everything he ever said came through. Everything he did was miraculous. And then he says, I'm going to rise again. And they, I don't believe it. And then he shows them, there's these two disciples walking along and they're saying, we thought he was the Messiah, but he died. And Jesus says, what are you guys thinking? I told you I was going to die and I told you I was going to raise again. It's me. And they can't believe it. See, it's amazing the ability, how much they doubted. Later on, after they see the grave goes, they see the empty grave, Thomas says, I will not believe it unless I stick my fingers in his hands and sides. These disciples, if you go back to Luke chapter, let's go back to Luke 24, these disciples, they were expecting Jesus was going to do something other than what he said he was going to do. Verse 21, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since all these things were done. He said, you know what? We thought, I mean, we followed this guy, we believed in him, and then he died, and we thought he was going to redeem Israel. He didn't say he was going to redeem Israel at this point. He said, I'm going to die, I'll be buried, I'll raise myself again 3 days later. But their expectation, their plan, what they thought he was going to do, they thought he was going to live and become king and rule. He said, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to die. I'm going to rule and reign someday. I'm going to redeem Israel when I come back again the second time. I'll do all that then. But that's not what I'm doing right now. They kept on asking, are you going to restore your kingdom yet? Nope, not going to restore my kingdom now. I'm going to die. I'll be buried and I'll raise myself from the dead. That's what's going to happen to me. And then he dies, and they say, well, no, he's supposed to redeem Israel. How, he's dead now. And they said the body's not there. We're confused. What? This is, we don't know what's, and we're depressed, and we don't know what's going to happen. And what are we going to do now? See, what they did is they made up an expectation of what they kind of wanted God to do and weren't listening to what he says he would do. They had this expectation of what they believed God was going to do. They had a plan for God. But God does not do what you expect him to do. He does what he says he's going to do. This is a big problem in a lot of people's lives. They expect God to do something. God doesn't say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And then they get upset and are all down in the press because God didn't do what they thought he said, but they wrote the words into God's mouth because that's what they expected God to do. They wanted Israel to be redeemed from Rome and be not under oppression anymore and the Messiah to come and to go save the nation. He said, I'm not here to do that. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm here to save you. Okay, great. Save thing, that's cool. Now, when are you going to redeem Israel? I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to come back to life again. And it's going to be great. And your soul will be saved and you'll get eternal life. Anybody who believes on me, he will never thirst again. I will save his soul. I'll wash away his sins. I will give him a home in heaven. I came to save that which is lost. Okay, whatever. Anyway, it's going to be awesome. You're going to redeem Israel. And we're not going to be under oppression anymore. And then he dies and they say, he died. I can't believe he died. What are we going to do? And then he appears beside them. He's walking down the road and they're going, you wouldn't believe it. There's this guy named Jesus. He told us he was going to redeem Israel and we thought he was going to redeem Israel for us and now he's dead. And he upbraids them for their unbelief and said, didn't I told you I was going to do that. You know, we live in a day now where people don't, if you're a person of your word and you say you're going to do something, you expect people to believe you, but they don't believe you. I told you I was going to pay you. I can't believe you paid me. Because that's a society we live in. Now we live in this distrustful society. A few thoughts I just want to give you. The disciples did not believe, and others didn't believe, and many people were shocked that he did exactly what he said he was going to do because they wrote a story. Number one, he does not always do what you expect, but he always does what he says. You know, he doesn't do what you expect. He does what he says. Okay? God always keeps his word. But many times you think he said something because you wrote something into God's mouth. Right now we have a big problem. The TV preacher said God said something when God didn't say a bunch of things. Okay? A whole bunch of people think, God says as soon as I get saved, I'm going to have peace and happiness and nothing's going to go wrong and no more troubles. And you had that expectation. God, I got saved. I served you. And I've been doing your will. And look what happened. You said nothing to go wrong. You said it would go great. And God said, I didn't say that. I said the opposite of that. These things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22 says this. It says, he preached to them that they should through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to be tough. This is a sin-cursed world. It's messed up. It's messed up if you're saved. It's messed up if you aren't saved. This world's messed up if you're serving God. Listen, Christians' cars break down. Did you know that you still have to pay rent if you're a Christian? Would it be awesome? You walk to your landlord and say, I'm saved. I'm serving God. I will have no troubles. You may not bill me. But that's not what God does. That's what people think God does. People think, I'm never going to have health problems. I'm saved. I'm serving God. Paul did. He was serving God. He doesn't do what you expect. He does what he says. He says you have an adversary, the devil. Job was serving God just great, and he lost everything. Okay, do not assume if you're serving God, nothing's going to go wrong. All things will work together for your good. God will take it, and he'll give you grace to handle it. He'll give you peace. He will work it together for a good reason. He'll make it be a blessing to you. But God doesn't, don't think God said things he didn't say. God's always up there in heaven saying to the angels, I didn't say that. Why do they say I said that? What are they saying? Where did they get that from? Where did they get that from? I didn't say that. I thought I'd get delivered from my trouble. No, you'll get peace to handle it. That's what he says to do. That's what he said. In this world ye shall have a tribulation, he said. But these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He did not say, you're not going to have troubles. He did not say, but here's what happens. The devil comes to you and says, see, God told you you're not going to have any troubles, and you're serving him, and look at the troubles you have. You shouldn't serve God. So you're wasting your life serving God. You, I've served God, and look what happened to you. I find the devil, I find more troubles in serving God. Devil goes after me harder when I'm doing good. There's more, but I have a peace and a joy and the almighty power of God to get victory, the grace to handle it. But I've been serving God 29 years. I still got troubles. But I get grace to handle them. That's what he said he would do, and he's done that. But do not go and make your expectations of what you think God is going to do or not going to do, and then say, God said that, and then be all upset when your dream didn't happen that way. That was your dream. Dreams are fine. But your dream was not the word of God. If I marry this person, I just thought God said that they would get saved, become a Christian. He didn't say that. I thought if I just served the Lord and I got married to a Christian, I would never have marriage problems. Listen, God doesn't say this stuff. Humans are fallen creatures. Bad things can happen. Things can go wrong. God, do not make your expectation for how your life was going to go. Cram it into God said, then you show me the verse where he said that. Your expectations are not the word of God. Your dreams and hopes and what you hope God does, they wanted him to restore the kingdom. He said, it's not time. I'm not restoring the kingdom. I'm dying and being raised again. And then I did it. Why are you so upset? Why don't you believe my body is there? Is not there. Why are you so confused about this? I said I was going to do it. Everything I say, I do. But we have expectations. Isn't it amazing, the disciples? I think it's so great. We have, the disciples could not believe the resurrection. He kept appearing to them. The angels were standing there. If an angel's standing there, all of a sudden an angel, poof, appears right here. And he says, guess what? Everybody walk over to McDonald's. Everybody's getting free lunch. Hallelujah. But we wouldn't have any problem believing we're going to get free lunch because the angel appeared, right? I mean, if an angel appeared, we'd say, well, it must be going to happen. Not them? No. You know why? I'll tell you something so amazing. The Bible says, blessed are you who haven't seen yet believe. They were with Jesus 3.5 years, saw the miracles, saw the dead raised, saw the blind healed, saw the lepers healed. They saw everything over and over again. They heard him teach. They saw the miracles. They saw the power of God. They're with him. And yet when they said he's raising the dead, they struggled with it. You and I don't struggle with him being raised from the dead. I want to say, that is a sign of the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's easier to believe not seen when you have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, they won't believe the one rising from the dead if they won't believe Moses and the prophets. The Word of God is so powerful and the Holy Spirit is so amazing that you have no problem with the resurrection, though you never saw it. You struggle less than them, because the amazing power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's great that God does that. Number one, he does not always do what you expect. I could talk all day about that in my life. But he always does what he says. my whole ministry has not gone as I expected it. It just hasn't. I had it all figured out how it was going to go. And it didn't go that way. But it's gone really good. Okay, number one, how does he does not always do what you expect, but he always does what he says. Number two, he always does what is best, but that's not always when or how we expected it. Let's go to John. He always, John chapter 11 is where I'll be. He always does what is best, but that's not always when or how we expected it. I've told so many stories in my life about how I expected something to go one way. It went a different way, but it was way better. We had service years ago, and I don't know, I never had this happen. God told me don't prepare anything. No sermons, no anything. Don't prepare a word, nothing. I said, ugh. How about a text? Nope. And he did that on Easter morning. He said, don't prepare anything. Don't even think about a sermon. Just, okay, it's your church. If they all laugh and leave, it's your deal. So I came to church that morning. And I don't know what happened that service. I came to church and people were just everywhere. And I said, well, they're going to be disappointed. And I literally, getting ready, singing the last song. I was leading the singing. I led the last song, whatever it was, thinking, I wonder what the sermon's about today. Literally, I did not know. 10 seconds before the sermon, I was thinking, something better come quick. Then when we, Lord, be first begun. I'm thinking, something's got to come. I got up there. Luke 24 came. Same passage we're in this morning, as a matter of fact. Luke 24 came out of my mouth, and I started preaching. And revival broke out. I mean, people were howling out all over the service. Wasn't what I expected. It was awesome, though. He doesn't always do what he always does what is best, but it's not always how or when we expect it. John chapter 11. Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus is dying. Jesus loves Lazarus. He heals people. And Jesus, we're calling for him. And they call for Jesus. Jesus, come. He's dying. We need you here. And Jesus is going to come. He's going to heal him. And Lazarus will be fine. That's what's going to happen. We got it all figured out. It's Jesus. He heals people. He loves Lazarus. We know he has a special affection for this guy. He really likes him. He doesn't want him to die. He loves us all. He's healed everybody forever. Everybody he goes to, he heals. He's going to come. Lazarus isn't dead yet. We'll be fine. That's their expectation. That's not what Jesus does. He blows their whole plan. John chapter 11. Let's see, 3. It says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said, this sickness is not, wait a minute. He says, the sickness is not going to kill him. But it did. It's interesting. Because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus, they call, he's dying, he's very sick. Jesus says, hey, you know what, he's not gonna be dead for long. He's fine. His sickness is not unto death. He's not gonna die and stay dead. And then Jesus just says, all right, guys, let's hang out. You ever been ready to go and somebody else isn't? That's called being male and married. And so you I'm in trouble. I just lost half of the crowd, and you're ready to go, and there it said he's dying, and Jesus sits there and he sits back and cooks some more food there, All right, set up the tents, whatever he did. He sat there for 2 days and didn't go. But she has to, he's going to die. Jesus, I mean, they're whispering over there. He's sick, right? Why aren't we going? It's just over to Bethany. And for 2 days, he goes nowhere. It's not the way they expected it. That's not what they expected him to do. He seemed to have no idea what was going on, verse 11. These things said he after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Verse 12, if he's sick, don't wake him up. Sleeping's good for him, verse 12. Disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. How be it? Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine the disciples going, you said he wasn't dead. We've been sitting here 2 days. You could have healed him. They called for you. You blew it, man. He does not do things on our timetables or according to the way we think it should go. He says, I'm God. I get to sit here for a year and go raising from the dead. Relax. He always does what is good. He just doesn't do it according to our timetables or according to the way we expected it. If you go forward to verse 32, actually, watch this. Watch how mad everybody is because he didn't go according to their plan. Watch how mad everybody gets at him. You go forward a little bit, everybody's mad at him. Verse 16, watch the discouragement set in. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, to his fellow servants, let us also go that we may die with him. Why are they so miserable? They want to die with Lazarus. Why? You're the Son of God. You could have healed him. You don't seem to know what you're doing. Everything's depressing. Now he died. You didn't go on time. God, you didn't do right. This is all bad. That's when someone, with their expectations of God, then all of a sudden they get mad at God because he didn't do things the way they thought he should do them, and things didn't go the way they thought. And so now they think God is not right or in control or doesn't know what's going on. And things got ruined because God didn't know what was going on. He died because, and look, I prayed and I asked you to come and ask you to do this thing, Jesus. It didn't happen. And now look what happened. Because you didn't answer my prayer, and look how messed up everything got now. And look at, and now they're mad at God just like the disciples. And he goes and he arrives and here comes Martha. In verse 20, Martha, as soon as she had heard Jesus was coming, went into him, but Mary sat still at the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She had expectations, didn't she? Verse 23, your brother will rise again. I know at the end he'll rise again, but he's dead now because you didn't come. Jesus entered her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. Believest thou this? Hey, do you still believe in me? Because I didn't keep your expectations. I am the resurrection. I'm life. I can make him alive again. You believe in me? Or you just believe me when I meet your expectations and do it the way you wanted it done? I do it the way I want to do it. Verse 31. Let me go a little farther. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet and said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Disciples are mad, discouraged, hopeless. These two, I think Martha is angry. I think Mary is brokenhearted. Why? Because they expected him to come on their schedule and heal them. And heal him and raise him from the dead. No wonder, verse 33, Jesus saw their weeping, the Jews also weeping, which were with her. He groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. Oh, man, why doesn't he believe me? know what I'm doing, guys. I know what's happening here. I know he's been dead. I told you before we got here he's dead. But he said, this sickness is not going to kill him. It's for the glory of God. What did he do? Verse 40, when Jesus said unto her, said not I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? When they took away the stone from the place where he was laid, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, you've heard me. I'm just praying out loud so they can know that you're hearing my prayer and they can realize that you do whatever I ask. When he thus spoke, and he cried, and with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus came out of the grave, bound in his grave clothes, came out of there, said, loose him, he's alive. And somebody who kept their mouth shut back there said, yeah, I knew he's doing that the whole time. Why did this whole thing happen? Why did Jesus let him die? So they would know he was dead, and Jesus had power over death. Back to verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Doctors can make people who are sick better, but doctors can't raise the dead. And Jesus said, I'm going to let him die. It's not going to meet your expectations. You're all going to be upset because you thought I was going to do this, and you had an expectation of me doing this on this timetable, and I was going to do this, and this would happen. I wanted to let him die. That's my plan. But we expect this. And when your expectations don't get filled, you get mad. Because you think he was going to do something. That's what you wrote in. Mary, Martha, when did I say I was going to come and heal, raise him from sickness? Didn't say that. You expected it. You wrote that in. And if you will just learn to trust me, if you would have said, I wonder why he's not going for 2 days. You know what, Jesus? I just want you to know, I trust you. I'm very curious to how you're going to work this all out. That would have been faith. But he always does what is best in our lives. All things work together for good to them who love God. He did what was best. He just didn't do what their expectations were. Number one, he does not always do what you expect, but he always does what he said. Every word of God always comes true. Number two, he always does what is best, but he does not do it when or how we expected it. That's why we got to be patient and trust God. Number three, there are some expectations we should have. Let's go to Proverbs. There are some expectations we should have. How we doing? How many ever made expectations of God and it didn't quite happen the way you wrote it up? Lots of us. That's okay. The deal is, say, if it happens, you say, wow, praise the Lord, that worked out like I planned it. But if you said, but if he doesn't do it, say, I trust you anyway, you're still good. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, I'd be a little flexible. He's a good God. Here's some expectations we can have. There are expectations you can't have. You can expect certain things in life, expect certain things to happen. Here's just a couple of them. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Proverbs 23. I'm going a little fast here. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. First of all, if you're godly, you can expect that your blessings and end is going to be good. That's what the Bible says. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 5. Surely surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know what hard pass I'm going to go down. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know that I'm not going to be in a car wreck on the way home. I don't know what is in my body right now that might not be healthy. I don't know anything. I do know I'm serving the Lord, and I'm in the hand of God, and my expectation is only good because I'm serving God. Now, that's the end of things. Psalm 62 in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. You're sitting in a restaurant and you have the master chef and he says, I'm going to surprise you with the best thing you've ever had in your life. When you're serving God, your expectation doesn't perish. Your expectation is God and what he's going to do. Now, you don't know what that is. You don't know what's going to happen in Turkey. Have no idea. You might get kicked out in 6 months. You might have revival break out there in 6 months, and you can't train all the pastors. No idea. I have been all over the world. Every mission trip, I tell you before I go, I have no idea what's going to happen. Because I don't. I do know I'm in the hand of God, and all things going to work together for good. And anything that happens is sent by God, and it's for my good. So I have an expectation that's good of the future. I know if I get in a car wreck today, wouldn't be unusual for me. I know it'll be for good. My expectation is good. You follow? I don't have a specific expectation. You say, Pastor, you expect to be running 250 next Sunday? No idea. Might have Pentecost, might have 20. Don't know what's going to happen next Sunday. You expect to have a great week this week? What do you mean by that? I have good days and bad days and good weeks. All I know is going to be good. I know I got heaven to look forward to. I know everything's going to work together for good. I know I'm in the hand of God. I know I'm serving the Lord. My expectation is good. I just don't know what the path is. I don't know that. But my expectation is from God, and your expectation should be from God. Look, verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. He's everything. God is my everything. I am expecting. Lazarus is sick. We sent for Jesus. We don't know what's going to happen. We think he's going to come and heal him, but we don't know. But you know what? Jesus is involved, so it'll be okay. That's the expectation to have. And that's good. I want to say this. If you're wicked, you can expect bad. You have an expectation. The Bible says, and not by how you define it. By the way, well, I'm a good person. I do the good things. I don't do any bad things. Everybody says that. The Bible says, every man will proclaim his own goodness. The only people who do not think they're good people are extremely good Christians. That's all. Everybody else tells you how good they are. Everybody justifies their sin. I wouldn't be one of them. I just do this. And then one over there is saying, I wouldn't be one of them. I only do this. That's humanity. Our sins are never bad as everybody else's. By God's definition, if you are living wickedly, expect bad. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the spirit, shall the spirit reap life everlasting. You expect to reap good or bad according to what you do. You especially, if you're wicked, expect bad things are coming. Be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 23. To desire the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. You know the biggest expectation, let me tell you this, the biggest expectation that will ever happen that people are dead wrong on that God did not say, and I want you to listen to me, it's one of the most important things you'll ever hear. The biggest expectation people have that will be the worst expectation that will be disappointed that God did not say is people will expect to be in heaven and they won't be. I thought if I lived a good life and if I just went to church or I just was a good person, I thought I'd be in heaven. That's what I expected. God said, I didn't say that. I said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I said, you must be saved. Well, I just thought that you loved me, and I just thought that I'm trying to be good, I'd go to heaven. That's your expectation. It's nice. Great pipe dream. I believed it. I believe if I was good enough, I'd go to heaven. Then I found out there's none righteous, no, not one. I realized I need a Savior. And millions of people will die and say, what do you mean I'm not going to heaven? What do you mean I'm going to hell? No, I didn't expect that. I tried to be good. And he said, I said a bunch of times in my Bible, you don't get to heaven by being good. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man will be justified by the works of the law. But this isn't what I expected. I know, but I told you what to expect. I said, expect, if you do not trust Christ as your Savior, expect you won't be in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Man, don't have a dream and say, I expect God to just let me go in because he just loves me. He says, I won't do that. And he never lies. He wants you to go to heaven. He loves you. He loved you so much. He sent his son to be crucified cruelly for your sins so you wouldn't have to suffer for him. And he calls you, and the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart, and he says, listen, you need me. And he sent you to church here today to hear the gospel so you can know that you can't save yourself, and God loves you, and he wants to save you, and he's doing everything he could possibly do to get you to heaven. But if you do not accept Jesus as your Savior, and you expect God to let you into heaven anyway, you're wrong. He never lies. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the good news is you got a whole bunch of things you can expect. You can expect to go to heaven when you call upon the Lord to save you. That's awesome. Your expectation won't perish when things go wrong in life. You will learn not to make God fit into your mold and get mad if it... I don't mind you dreaming all these things. I'm going to get married. He's going to stay handsome. He's never going to get fat. His hair is not going to fall out. And he's going to buy me roses every week. All right. Hope so. Just look around before you get married. And don't... But you know, that's fine. Dream it up. How many of you said, I'll never get fat? Never mind. And... But you expect. Don't get fine, dream and think this might work this way and hope it works this way and pray it works this way. But just love God and trust him anyway. And if you're not saved today, trust Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you. We can love you and trust you. Lord, things don't always go according to our plan. Lord, there's so many things that we think you said was gonna work this way. I'm amazed, Lord, at the lack of scripture knowledge that people have when they say, God told me this, and the Bible says this, and it doesn't say that. Lord, may we not have expectations that are not biblical. Lord, may we just trust. May we, even if we have expectations, make them very loosely held and not dependent on it, whether we follow you or love you. I pray today if there's some people who expected some things and got disappointed, they would get out of their bitterness and anger at you and just realize maybe it's not best. Maybe they didn't do right. Maybe it's because we live in a sin-cursed world. But Lord, help us to trust you and never be bitter. I pray anybody who doesn't know Christ as Savior today, I pray they'd trust Christ. I thank you that Jesus died for us and rose again, just as he said. Help everyone today to accept him as their personal Savior and know they're going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Before we finish up here.